listening via the Facebook, because Facebook doesn't believe we have the license to show the videos, we have to pause the feed while we sing, all right? And then the feed will resume after we sing. So, you know, it's Facebook's rules, unfortunately. Well, you know, honestly, it started with karaoke. When the bars started to have karaoke, the alcohol beverage people got involved, said, you can't do this, you're not paying royalties. And then it went to court, and then the bar owner said, what about the churches? And that's where it started. So every song we put up here, we pay for, whether you realize it or not. There are royalties that we pay for. We have to send in a report quarterly of the songs that we use, because we, and the license itself is not cheap. We pay a lot of money for the license. So that's the world we live in. Melissa, why don't you come forward? I was sharing in Sunday school this morning that Revelation is a tough book from chapter 5 on to chapter 19, because it deals with a lot of heavy stuff. It deals with God's judgments and what's going to happen in the world. And we're going to be at the end of that today in Revelation 17 and 18. Then we talk about the return of the king. The king is coming. Having said that, I know, you know, attendance has been sporadic. Breaks my heart, but it's been sporadic. And in saying that, I just want to let you know that when God sends judgments, they are just and they are right, number one. Number two, the whole purpose for going through this is to kind of give us a little smack on the backside to say that the church needs to get moving and sharing the gospel with others, because I don't want to see anybody go through the tribulation or go to hell, for that matter. And the church has been complacent. I watched a little news this morning as I was getting ready, and people lined up in Washington to see the Trump parade and the inauguration. I want to repeat this. I said this last week. Trump is not the savior. Trump is the president, not the savior. One of the gentlemen that was interviewed, and he meant well, but one of the gentlemen that was interviewed by the news commentator said, what are you expecting from President Trump? Well, I'm expecting, you know, good economy, this, and I want him to bring back Christianity to America. And I said, at wrong. That's not his job. That's the church's job. And if Christianity is gone from America, it's the fault of the church, not the government. So we have to kind of get things straight. And there are people waiting in cold temperatures, in rain and ice, to see a president of the United States. I respect them, don't get me wrong. And yet in churches, there's empty seats as we come and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, as we go to worship, I forget what I had first. What song are we doing first? Here I Am to Worship. Let's prepare our hearts, because no matter what happens today and tomorrow with the inauguration, this is the place we ought to be.
Wait. Won't you please stand if you're able? So he came down from heaven and humbled himself before God and man. He displayed kindness and patience to all and was willing to forgive the Pharisees and Sadducees. He tried to teach everyone how to live forever in paradise, but few listened and few changed their ways. Instead of turning his back on them, he took on their sins and suffered God the Father turning his back on Jesus. After being tortured, spat upon, scourged, and crucified, he still loved each one of us, past, future, and present, and gave us each a path to be with him in heaven. Our God and Savior is more worthy of worship, is more than worthy of worship, praise, and adulation. So let's sing to him. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made his heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to this earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether worthy, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much you cost to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon a cross. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon a cross. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. We're all together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. Worship, here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Worship, bow down, say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Wonderful to me. You're wonderful to me. You're wonderful to me.
Amen. Woo.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Okay.
You are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow.
I will follow.
I will listen.
I will listen.
I will love you.
I will love you
all of my days.
All of my days.
You
are Lord of lords. You are King of kings. You are mighty God. Lord of everything. You're Emmanuel. You're the great I am. You're the Prince of Peace. Who is the Lamb? You're the living God. You're my saving grace. You will reign forever. You are the ancient of days. You are Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. You're my Savior, Messiah, Redeemer, and friend. You're the Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you. This side, first part. This side, second part.
You are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow.
I will follow.
I will listen.
I will listen.
I will love you.
I will love you
all of my days.
All of my days.
I
you are Lord of lords. You are King of kings. You are mighty God, the Lord of everything. You're Emmanuel. You are the great I am.
And
you're
the Prince of Peace.
Who is the Lamb? You're the living God. You're my saving grace. You will reign forever. You are the ancient of days. You're Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. You're my Savior, Messiah, Redeemer, and friend. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you.
I will Lord of lords.
You are King of kings. You are mighty God, the Lord of everything. You're Emmanuel. You are the great I am. You're the Prince of Peace. Who is the Lamb? You're the living God. You are my saving grace. You will reign forever. You are the ancient of days. You are Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. You're my Savior, Messiah, Redeemer, and friend. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you. You're my Prince of Peace, and I'll live my life for you. For you. Amen, brothers and sisters. Whoop whoo! Good job, everybody. Okay. He is and always has been. His word created everything. He knows everyone and calls us by our names. He knows how many hairs are on our heads. He calls and offers us a place by his side for eternity. He created love. Sing his praises. O ye people, sing, for only he is worthy. Thanks to the Lord, God and King,
his love endures forever. He is good, he is above all things, his love endures forever. Sing praise,
sing praise,
sing praise,
sing praise,
with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm.
His love endures forever.
For the life that has been reborn,
his love endures forever.
Sing praise,
sing praise,
sing praise,
sing praise,
sing praise,
sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us. Forever.
From the rising to the setting sun, his love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise,
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 sing praise.
Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us. Forever, forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever. His love endures forever, his love endures forever. His love endures forever, forever. Forever God is faithful. is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Forever.
Forever. Forever.
Amen. Good singing. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Andrew, if you could, yeah, that's it. Good boy. Okay.
Responsive reading. If you would read with me, folks, the responsive reading all about the Tower of Babel. Tower of Babel.
Okay.
Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there was the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. All right, so this is a hard one. You know, you think you've heard of the Tower of Babel from when we were kids, explained to us by our nuns in grammar school, or I had nuns anyway, or Sunday school teachers. But if you think about it, it's pretty complicated, and it got more and more confusing as I studied about it. But first of all, this happened a long, long time ago, back in the days of Nimrod. And the Tower of Babel is a passage that's subject to tons of research. On the surface, the story tells of people building a tower to reach heaven so man could meet God. God comes down and sees the edifice and doesn't like it, so he confuses everyone's language, and the humans cannot coordinate building efforts anymore, so they scatter. The city in which the tower is built is Babylon, of course. Babylon has a long and varied history with rulers such as Nebuchadnezzar and Hammurabi. In the early days of Babylon, a tall building the size of a mountain was built. It was probably a ziggurat. A ziggurat is a building that has steps leading to the top of the temple, top and a temple near the bottom. Nothing inside. The top was a room. At the top was a room with a bed, and the bed was for a local god to lay in, Nimrod and his wife, right? You were saying? All right. And son. The doorway was called the entrance to heaven, or the gate of the gods. And the stairs, you guessed it, the stairway to heaven. The people hoped that God would come down the steps to receive the gifts or sacrifices left by the adherents. The ziggurat was not to be used for man to reach God. Rather, it was to facilitate God coming down to his temple to bless his people. Disobedience and hubris could have been the downfall of the people building the tower, the offense of hubris, because by offering God a bed and gifts, they were making God into a deity with human traits. They were making God into man. So God changed their languages and scattered them. Nice try, he said, but it's time to rethink your folly. I think that's what I got out of it anyway.
That's fine. Thank you. As we go into prayer and offering, I'll need some help with the offering. Okay. As we go into prayer and pray for the offering, I just really want to pray for the inauguration that will be happening, the presidential inauguration, for safety, because you never know, right? There's been two assassination attempts already, and we just pray that everything stays calm and safe, that cooler heads would prevail. So it's proper for us, for any president, whether this time it's Trump, but as the Bidens leave office and Trump assumes office, we got to pray for the for both men and their families for safety. So would you join me in prayer, since this is kind of this and football will be the highlight of the weekend, I guess. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come together. Thank you for the good singing, Father, and the words of the praise songs. We thank you that your love endures forever. And Father, that you love sinners like us, that's just amazing to me. So we do thank you. And Father, we pray for today's festivities, for the festivities tomorrow, there's a new government, a new leader gets sworn in, that you would keep everybody on the platform and in public appearances safe, from the former president to the new president. Father, watch over them, protect them. And for President Trump, I pray that he would seek you for his wisdom that he will need to lead this country. I pray that his desire is to honor you in all he does. I pray for his wife, his children, Father, that they would come into a deeper relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Father, would you bless the offering and bless the gift and the giver? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Andrew, bring me back to the passage in Genesis, the one we just read. Thanks. Back to verse 1. Oh, you got it. Good. What's the difference between a pandemic and an epidemic? Anybody know? We threw these words around when COVID was an issue. Yes. Well, has to do with the amount of people. Pandemic means that everybody will be affected. Epidemic means the majority of people will be affected, not everyone, okay? I would say in the American church today, we have an epidemic. And it's not a biological disease. It is a disease, nonetheless, that originates in our sin nature. And here's the nature of the disease. And I'm hoping, I want to talk to Joey afterwards. I want to boost this message because I believe it's a problem. We've all experienced this. unfortunately, and we still battle with it in the church and in congregations. Because of our sin nature, we want to keep one foot in the world. When I say the world, I talk about the world system, which is ruled, by the way, Satan, by the way, and in spirituality into the church. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I've learned that the hard way. You may have learned that the hard way. It doesn't work, and I'll unpack that in a minute. But I think it's one of the biggest problems for the Church of America, and one of the reasons for that is simply this. We are trained to be narcissistic. We are trained to be materialistic. And we are trained to have what we want, when we want it, how we want it. And that just plays right into the sin nature. We're going to be looking at Revelation 17 today. 17 and 18 go together, but I'm not going to have time to do both. And I want to spend some time in the passage we just read about the Tower of Babel. Because Babel, or Babylon, which is the city that developed from Nimrod's, how do you like to have the name Nimrod, right? Nimrod's settlement in this area. And I want to look at some mistakes here. He says, as the people moved eastward, which they were commanded to do by God, they found a plan in Shinar and settled there. That means all the people settled there. Number one, they started to disobey God because God's commission to them was spread over the earth and populate the earth. So they came to a place that was nice, and they said, listen, if we settle here, I'm sure God would understand. Well, he didn't. They disobeyed. How many times have we said, well, I'm just going to do this, but I'm sure God will understand. And we know that it was a direct violation of his word and his will. So this is problem number one. They said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Do you remember the last time Scripture mentions making bricks in the Old Testament? Anybody remember where that was? In Egypt, very good. That's when the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt, right? Instead now, it says, come, we're going to make these bricks again, bake them thoroughly, and they used the bricks instead of stone, which was the usual practice, by the way, and tar mortar, which means that they want this thing to last a while, right? Come, let us build, what's the next word? Ourselves, a city. There's no mention of God here, or even consideration of consulting with God. Let us build ourselves a city with a great tower that reaches to the heavens. Whoa. Listen, here's the beginning of the second mistake. God wants us to come to him on his terms, not on our terms. These people believed that they had to do this to get to God in heaven, which would spare them from repentance and faith. And God says, it's not the way I operate. We still do this today. All the good works I do, that, you know, I'm trying to reach heaven. No, listen, Christianity is not about us going to heaven. It's about Christ coming down and paying the penalty for you and me on the cross. Here's the third mistake. We build a tower that reaches to heaven so that we may make a name for what? Ourselves. Not for God, but for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the earth. Well, yeah, that's what God wanted. But no, we're changing the plan, God. We're changing the plan for how you want us to come to you. We'll take care of that. You don't have to worry about it. We're settling here because, listen, this is the first nice place I've seen. Real estate values are high. Schools are good, right? And we're settling here. without even saying, God, is this what you want? And we're going to make this grand structure that glorifies you. Listen, this is a problem in the sin nature, and Christians battle with this also. All right? But let's look at this. It says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. Notice that the Lord didn't have to come down through the tower. He just came. He's all present anyhow, right? And the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, because it wasn't too much time from the ark, they're all speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible. Because you know what takes over? Hey, we can understand each other. Look at the pride. The pride. Look at what we're doing. Look at what we're doing, right? And God says, this is not good, right? Notice the wording here. Come, let us go down. Let us, God says. What does that mean? Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. God had a humble, arrogant, sinful people. He's still in the business of doing that, by the way. That he will humble arrogant, sinful people. Let me read the last two verses here. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. Why? Because they went against God's plan. His plan was for them to populate the whole earth. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world, and from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Listen, nothing, not even us, will ever stop God's plans. Can I repeat that? Nothing will stop God's plans. This didn't stop God's plans, did it? He had to kind of give him a smack in the hiney to say, you're all off base here. Here's the way John and Peter put it in their writings. He says, all that is in the world system, and by the way, Babel in the scriptures represents two things. Represents an actual city, and it represents the world system. Okay? All that is in the world is the lust of the eyes. That's what happened here. The lust of the flesh, the boasting, and the boastful pride of life. Look what we did. We're going to get to God on our terms. Not God's terms. Our terms. I want to suggest to you this is still a major problem, even within the church. How so? Because Babylon still exists. And when I say it still exists, it's not the city, it's the world's system. It's the world system that is godless. It's the world system that doesn't give a rip about God, but is just interested in what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. It is a world system that promotes false identities. It is a world system that promotes false confidences. It is a world system that promises you everything but delivers destruction. That's what happened to the tower. It was destroyed. It was destroyed. Well, Pastor, why do you say it's a problem? Here's the problem. The sin nature is so embedded in us that we still have that desire because we like some of the things of the world. Truth be known, we like some of the things of the world. So we want to keep the things we like that may not be necessarily good for us and may be a violation of what God wants for us, but we want to keep one foot there because that's what we want. But we'll keep one foot in the church and in the kingdom of God because that's the safer place to be. It doesn't work. It can't work. It will never work. I use an illustration several times. I went out on a boat with my friend, and the boat wasn't tied to the dock. I didn't know that. So when I got into the boat, I put one foot in the boat, kept one foot on the dock. It was disaster. That's exactly what will happen when we try to keep our feet in the world, one foot in the world, and one foot in the church. Well, how do we do that? I touched on this a little bit last week, and I'm sorry if I sound like a broken record, but it's a big problem. There are people who name the name of Christ who are living contrary to the Bible. There are people who call themselves Christian who, if you looked at the way they are living, you couldn't tell the difference between them and an unbeliever. I'm not being judgmental here. I'm just stating facts. And there's easy things to pick on. Right? This whole thing, even in the evangelical church, living together out of wedlock has become normal. God detests it. But does it make any difference? Hey, I call myself a Christian. Listen, I'm not saying you can't be a Christian and live with someone, but I'm saying if you're truly a Christian, you better beware that you're disobedient against what God wants for you. And we use all type of excuses, right? I don't need the paper license. I don't need this. It's not about what you need. If we are truly serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we better be concerned about what he wants, not what we want. This is where we fall down. I've seen people who name the name of Christ operating a business. And to be honest with you, the way the business is operated is no different than an unbeliever. We'll cut corners here. We won't quite tell the customer the truth. You know, I promised this, but we're not going to do this. Or I promised to show up to give an estimate or do work and never show up. You don't know how many phone calls I've gotten over the years from people who say, hey, you know, so-and-so says they're a Christian. They promised to come, never came. They promised to do this. They never followed up. We've normalized and accepted things that should never be accepted. Premarital sex. My understanding is that in high school, it's almost expected that the people are going to have sex outside of marriage. And we get, even in the church, oh, what's the big deal? Everybody's doing it. Big deal is it's not what God wants. It's not what's good for us. People who, I've seen Christians who name the name of Christ come to church drunk to the point where I wouldn't let the person drive. You know, I mean, I've seen it all. I've seen it all. It grieves my heart. I'm not being pejorative here. But what I am saying is if we name the name of Christ and we believe that he is our Savior and that he knows what's best for us and his word is our rule for living and the final authority, then we need to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, be prepared to obey it. And some people say, I'll be the oddball. Be the oddball. But Jesus will bless you for it. What do you care what other people say? Be the oddball. I'm not talking about being weird. There was a man I counseled. He worked up in Monmouth County. And he carpooled. He worked for a big company. He carpooled and every day when they drove home back into Ocean County, they would go to a strip bar in Toms River. And the man said to me, I'm carpooling. I don't want to be in there. I said, then don't be in there. I said, what am I going to tell them? Tell them you wait in the car. Well, look, God, what do you care? You're honoring God, but not going in there. I guess the question comes, will we dare to be different? Not for our sake, not for our arrogance or anything like that. Will we dare to be different because God has shown us what to do in the situation? Will we dare to be different? So many people, listen, what you do with your money is your business. And I wouldn't even pretend. But in the American church, I would really love to know, not individually, I would really love to know how much money goes for lottery tickets, how much money goes to racetracks, how much money goes to Atlantic City when churches are struggling to keep their doors open. Professing Christians, you know, you do whatever you want. You know, you're free to do what you want. But having said that, I'm not condoning any of this stuff. I'm saying, did you consult what the Lord wants? Did you consult what God wants? When it's all about me, we're going to get in trouble. When it's all about you, we're going to get in trouble. It is that attitude that brings on the final judgments in Revelation. It is that attitude which causes people going through the last seven judgments in Revelation to stop and curse God. They curse God when God said, come to me. Come to me by faith and spare yourself. Instead, they curse God. Why? Here's why. Sin is pleasurable for a moment. Not only is it pleasurable, but when it becomes a habit, when it's taken away from us, we miss it. We mourn for it. What we don't realize is when God calls us not to do something, he'll replace it with something much better if we let him. Does that make sense? He'll replace it with something much better if we let him. I want to get into the beginning of Revelation with you, chapter 17. And we're going to just go through a couple of verses. I'll continue this next week. One of the seven angels. Whoops. I did that. Sorry about it. Okay. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, that's the seven last judgments, said to me, come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits by many waters. Many people, when they come to this chapter, say, it's too complicated for me. I can't deal with it. It's actually, it's got its problems, but it actually makes sense. The great prostitute here, as we find out later, is Babylon, the world's system. Not so much the place in this, although if there is a place in the future called Babylon, that'll be destroyed too. But this is talking about the world's system that is anti-God. Her kings, with her kings of the earth, they committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with wine of her adulteries. In other words, the system of the world, the evil system of the world, and the beast had a partnership. And the partnership was to deceive, to make you think that you needed all these earthly pleasures that were bad and anti-God, and that they knew better than God what's good for you. Huh. We've come dangerously close to that in this country. People who think they know better than God what's good for you. Right? And the seduction. Listen, whenever there's power, money, pride, it's very seductive. It's very tempting. to say, yeah, I want a part of that. I want a part of that. And this is what happened. This is why she's called a prostitute, because with her power, with her influence, with her deception, she's seducing people to sell out to the beast. Oh, man. I see that too much. Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. Then I saw a woman sitting on the scarlet beast. There's the beast. That was covered with blasphemous names, anti-God names, and had seven heads and seven horns. And I'm going to bring you through one more verse, and then we'll stop there this week. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet. Watch it. You know how Hollywood can get very glitzy and glamorous and very seductive? That's what you have here. Purple and scarlet, and was glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. Sometimes I look at these Hollywood celebrities and I look at what they're wearing around their neck and I say, if I had that, I'd be able to live for 10 years. She held a golden cup in her hand, filled with abominable things and the filth of her adultery. This shows a prostitute who gets drunk on evil, who gets a high from deceiving people and a high from the evil and the filth of her adulteries. Why adulteries? Because she is convincing men and women to cheat on God and to follow her. Did you get that? Anytime we are attracted to the world system, the godless world system, we commit adultery with God. That's been right from the fall, by the way. We commit adultery with God. We don't like to hear that, but it's true, right? I'm going to save the name for next week. But I want you to give this some serious thought. When we, I hate to use this word, but please hear it in the spirit I'm using it. When we choose to compromise with the world system, we're on dangerous ground. I was watching some young fellows on the lake right near Route 9 down by my house. And they were playing hockey. And it was one of the warmer days. And Mary Lou said to me, can't they fall through? I said, absolutely, they can fall through. If they hit a weak spot. So you pray for them that they don't. But a lot of times when we try to keep one foot in the world as believers and one foot in the church, the ice is going to break. And we're going to get in trouble. We're going to get in trouble. Don't be deceived. Don't make judgments for God. In other words, if you think God's going to be okay with something that the Bible says is not okay, let God speak for himself. Don't speak for him. Go to the Word. Say, oh, this is really okay. Am I being a good steward of my time? Am I being a good steward of my money? Am I being a good steward of my family? Am I serving where God has gifted me? We have to ask those questions, because if we don't ask those questions, pardon the expression, we're just going to be fat, dumb, and happy. And that's the most dangerous position to be in. One of the things that grieved my heart, I'll be very honest with you, was the whole Super Bowl phenomenon, where that on Sunday nights they play the Super Bowl. Now, listen, I like sports. But I made a mistake as a pastor years ago. I canceled the service for Super Bowl. I should never have done that, because God's more important. God is more important. God is more important than the inauguration. God is more important than Super Bowl. God's more important than the Eagles playing today. God's more important than the New York Yankees. God's more important. God's more important than playing soccer on the soccer fields or baseball. God's more important than going to the marijuana dispensaries and waiting in line for your marijuana on a Sunday morning. God's more important than that. But the world system says, have it your way. Sound familiar? Have it your way. Hold the scripture. Hold the prayers. Hold the praise. Hold church. I'm going to have it my way. It's a prescription for disaster. I watch, Marilyn and I watch, I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's a police program. It's called On Patrol Live. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's on cable. Listen, I wore the uniform. My brother was a police officer for 31 years. And I always am, and I was trained like this. I'm always amazed for the majority, for 99.9% of the police officers at the patience they have with people. They show great restraint. They really try to do what's best for the person. And it always amazes me. Now listen. God has shown great restraint with his church, with us. He always gives us a chance to come back to him and confess when we do things we ought not to do, to repent, to come to him, be restored in our fellowship with him. But the worst thing that we could ever do is turn our back on God and do things our way, on our terms. Because for a true believer, that means the discipline is going to get heavy. And God will get your attention. And he will get my attention. Dr. Robert Cook, who was a dear saint, is with the Lord now. He used to say this. He would say, "Beloved, it's better to confess it now before you stand before the throne of grace. Deal with it here. Deal with it now. It's really time for the church to get back on track." We will continue this next week. And I appreciate you coming out today. We must have about 2 feet of invisible snow out there right now. So I'm going to ask Melissa and Chip to come forward. I'm still convinced that the weather forecasts are brought to you by ShopRite. Yeah? Andrew, the last song. You're a good man. Now, if we do get snow, here's your assignment. I want you to take pictures of the snow and send them to Sharon in Florida. All right? Yeah. Show Sharon in Florida. I know. You're right, Vince.
Yeah, but no snow.
I know. She'll be cold, though. She'll be cold. Listen. It's good for us to come together and thank God for all he's done. Not what we've done, for all he's done.
Won't you please stand? With feeling,
my Savior, Redeemer, lifted me from the miry clay. Almighty, forever, I will never be the same, 'cause you came near. From the everlasting to the world we live, the Father's only Son. And you lived, and you died, and you rose again on high, and you opened the way for the world to live again. Hallelujah for all you've done. My Savior, Redeemer, lifted me from the miry clay. Almighty, forever, I will never be the same, 'cause you came near. From the everlasting to the world we live, the Father's only Son. And you lived, and you died, and you rose again on high, and you opened the way for the world to live again. Hallelujah for all you've done. Lived, and you died, and you rose again on high, and you opened the way for the world to live again. Hallelujah for all you've done. Hallelujah for all you've done.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Near, from the everlasting to the world we live, the Father's only Son. 'Cause you came near, from the everlasting to the world we live, the Father's only Son. And you died, and you rose again on high, and you opened the way for the world to live again. Hallelujah for all you've done. You lived, and you died, and you rose again on high, and you opened the way for the world to live again. Hallelujah for all you've done. Hallelujah for all you've done. Hallelujah for all you've done.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I want to thank you all for coming out today. You've blessed my heart. I hope God blesses yours. Let's pray. I have to run off to Tom's River, so I apologize I can't stay. Let's pray. Father, thanks. It was good to be together today. Good to hear your word. Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you help us in everything that we do? Glorify you. May we consult your word, your spirit, on things that we're not sure of, things that we may want to do that may not be good for us or good for the kingdom. Help us, Jesus, to bring us closer to you. And we'll give you all the glory. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Hey, you guys, good. Eat a good lunch.